Jesus. Oh, all right, so welcome back to another episode of Slurred Words. Here we have Uncle Richie.
Grandpapa.
We're down here at the basement bar. Papa Richie, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Andy's Special Pumpkin Ale here, and I gotta tell you, it's pretty fantastic.
Well, I appreciate those kind words, sir. So we're going to start off again with another cheers.
Cheers.
So here we go. Slurred speech and the stories we preach.
God, we need pledges to bring us more beer.
So as I always like to do, get started off with the podcast. I'm going to go around here and kind of go through a couple questions and see where that takes us. The first being, when was the first time you guys ever took a drink? Like any drink at all? Do you guys remember?
Our house, we did, so we'd always, everyone always had champagne for New Year's, and I think my parents would give it to me just to kind of, like, put me to sleep so they could do terrible things to each other. I specifically remember I was 5 years old, and, you know, we came back from New Year's party with a bunch of family friends, and we popped champagne, and I had some. My parents gave me, like, a couple glasses of it. And I passed out, and then I peed the bed, and I wake
nothing's
up.
Changed.
Nothing's changed. So I passed out, I peed the bed, and I wake up, and I go into my parents' room, and I'm just like, "Mom, Dad, I peed the bed."
Good.
And my dad is just like, "Just go to sleep. Like, just we'll deal with it tomorrow." And I'm like, "But it's really bad." He's like, "Just go to sleep." And I was like, "I hate you." And then I just slept in my piss for the rest of the night.
You didn't even put, like, newspapers down, like, Big Daddy style?
No, you know what I tried to do, honestly? So here was a cool thing. So I had, like, bunk beds.
Did it drip through?
The unfortunate part was it just smelled really bad in there. But, like, my dumbass, I didn't even sleep in the bottom bunk because I was like, no one wants to sleep in the bottom bunk. It sucks. So I get back up on the top, and I sleep on the edge of the bed to, like, stay away from the pee. And
wait, you had a completely empty bottom
yes.
bunk?
I'm
And you slept on the top bunk where you had peed?
Yeah, so I'm hammered, dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
So fucked up.
Champagne will fuck a little kid up, I guess.
I know.
Oh, man.
Bastard. Yep. So anyways, I was dating this girl for a long time, and you know, I was flying in from New York into Boston every weekend, so we could, you know, be together and do whatever.
That's
good. So this one weekend, I come in, and, you know, I've just been ready to just, you know, go to Pound Town, and she's like, "It's not a good time for that." And I was like, "I understand that, you know." And I was like, "So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go out. We're gonna get super fucked up. And we're going to sleep very comfortably tonight." So we go out, and she'd never really taken shots at Jack. And she took a lot.
God she took a lot. That's never taken shots at Jack. Before.
Yeah. So she took a lot of shots at Jack with me.
Oof.
And we get home.
Yeah.
We get to her place.
Hey.
Hey, man.
What's up, Case?
What's up, buddy? How's it going?
What's going on, bro?
I know, man.
So anyways, so we get home.
For it. You want to sit right here?
Oh, yeah. You're probably operating?
Yeah, I got to operate the...
Oh, you guys are getting awesome.
So anyways, we get back to her place, and she's like, "Rishi, I need you to go get a trash bag." Mm-hmm. So I go and I get this fucking trash bag, and she pukes her guts. And I was just like, "You know what? It's fine. It's fine, sweetie. You know, everyone does this." And she's like, "What are you going to do with the bag? We need to get rid of the bag." So I go onto her back balcony and launch it in her neighbor's yard. And it got stuck in a tree. So I come back in, and she's like, "Did you get rid of the bag?" And I was like, "Yeah, I took care of the bag." So I crawl into bed, and I wake up the next morning, and I look at her, and I'm just like, "Babe, I had the craziest dream last night." And she looks at her, she's like, "Yeah, did you dream that you peed on my floor?" And I was like, "That was part of it." She's like, "That actually happened." And I was like, "What did I do?" She's like, "You got up at 4 a.m. and you woke me up because when you were crawling out of bed, you put your hand on my face to get out." And I was just like, no. She's like, yeah. And then you pulled my trash can and put it against the wall and started peeing in the trash can. And when I looked at you and asked you what you're doing, you looked at me and said, it was cool in the 70s.
Please tell me I can use this story.
Oh, you can use this one. This one's good. Yeah. So I'm just like, I did not. And she's like, yeah. She's like, and I had no problem with it because you didn't get anything on the floor. You peed in the trash can. But then you tried to dump. She's like, then you tried to dump the piss out the window, and the window was closed. So basically, you dump pee everywhere.
Oh, man.
So she's like, I'm going to go volunteer, and this is going to be clean by the time I get back. And I was like, that's a fair deal.
All right.
1 year, we had formal happy hour. You were with me, Case. We were at the same table. And I didn't have a date, and Huck didn't have a date, so we thought we'd just date each other for this thing. So we go to Sagano's, and we're doing fucking shots, sake bombs, everything. And at one point, I was so messed up, and there was this African-American couple, very nice people. The guy got up to leave, and I went and sat next to her. And I started, I guess I was, in my mind, I was hitting on her. I don't really know what I did. And the dude comes back, and he's like, hey, man, you're in my seat. And I was like, hold on. And I keep talking to her, and he's like, hey, man, you're in my seat. I was like, I will get out of this seat if she gives me a peck on the cheek. She gave me the peck on the cheek. And then I went back. And our chef was like, who the hell is this guy? Like, what is this guy doing? So I keep slamming away, and this guy hands me a bottle of Aero vodka. He's like, dude, slam this. So I start drinking it, and it's water, and I spit it on him. And I think it was Casey. He's like, oh, we gotta leave. We get home, and I am passed out on the couch. And I just get up, and Casey has all these pics. Yeah. He has, the string of pics of me starting out on the couch, full suit, tie, to naked in the bathroom, puking my guts out in the toilet, and then getting up and giving two thumbs up with the creepiest stare you'll ever see, and then passing back out naked. And then, after a while, I woke up, and someone told me that Dunham's dog took my lobster. I didn't order a lobster at dinner. I found that out the next day. But in my mind, I thought, this dog is eating my fucking lobster, and I was very angry. I start chasing the damn dog, and then K-Mitch looks at me, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, Chuck Norris roundhouse, and I just start roundhouse kicking him for no reason whatsoever. And then, you know, everyone's like, you know, we gotta get this guy some food, he's super fucked up, so we go to Mega Diner. I eat, and I'm comfortable, and I'm happy. And the lady, our waitress, comes by and goes, do you guys need anything else? Are you good? And I was like, you know what? We are all set, but you look like you're tired. Why don't you come sit in my lap? Rub the magic lamp. See if the genie comes out.
So? Is that even an Indian, proverb?
No, it's really not. It's really not. It's a Richie proverb. I would like to say, I'll tell you this. My most recent way of looking at life is this. Settling is failing, right? And growing up is like leaving the party early. I plan to do neither. I feel it's a good way to
You're
live.
You're on the right course.
I think so. But anyways, to finish off that quote, although I don't want to settle, nor do I want to grow up, I don't mind passengers that are long for the ride. My car always has room.
This is some Dalai Lama shit.
Yeah, my car always has room.
Female passengers, or is this, you know, open?
You know what? Lately, I've been feeling I need to dabble.
Is that a admittance that you are bisexual now?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Just curious?
By curious?
I
You never go full gay.
It's not that. I think I joke about it because I like clothes, right? Clothes are my thing. I love cool gear. Sometimes it's a little too cool. It's a little too cool. But regardless of which.
It's really cool sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, so yeah, let's get back to point. Here, I will start with my first time being drunk. Because okay. This is hilarious.
There you go. Let's do this.
So it was freshman year. And this was after Zero Weekend when I had, a bunch of beers. I wasn't drunk, blackout, but, I mean, I was fucked up. But then the week after, man, I had all this ambition to do all these smarmy things, get a top-line MBA, go be an investment douche, and, a lot of different shit.
At Kettering?
When I was at Kettering, that's what I wanted to do when I left.
Right,
I
wanted to be a regular douche.
Yeah, to be a regular douche. So,
that's
anyways,
easy accomplished though.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing pretty good at it right now.
You know, I call my new style urban douchery.
Why not metro?
No. Urban douchery is it sounds like I'm kind of black, but I'm not. So it's
it gives it that edge
that you need. So
Jay-Z might look at it for a second.
Yeah, for a second.
Oh, urban?
Yeah.
I think I'll take a look at
that. I'll take a look at that. I kind of want to donate. I'm all about it. No, so anyways, the next weekend, I got super drunk. I got super drunk, and Ken was there. Ken was there, and I was like, oh my God, I haven't gone to class all week. I'm just being a piece of shit. And I broke down, and I cried. And I said, I was like, I'm not going to amount to anything. I'm not going to do anything with my life. I hadn't even met Casey yet, and Casey walks in the room.
I heard the story of that, and yeah. That's how I was like, Rich?
Yeah. And this guy walks into the room. He doesn't even know me. He's like, who's this pussy? Like, we didn't even meet yet, because we didn't meet till the second semester. And we met in a really odd way that will not be told on this. But regardless. So anyways, I cried, and then, you know, over time, my pussiness was reduced. Yeah,
wait,
I think
so as your tears started running out.
Yeah, as my tears started running out, and I realized I didn't have any more lube. I decided that it's time for, you know, my turtle to come out of its shell. I mean, I think my nuts dropped the next week. It's crazy.
It takes Indians longer.
You finally hit puberty.
Yeah.
Did you tell the story about when you first got laid?
No, should I tell that one? That's a good one.
So I got
super fucked up.
Everyone in the story is just
super fucked up.
Fucked up. And so Casey, you know, all semester, Casey and I were talking. I was like, dude, I need to lose my virginity. I want to do this thing. And Casey's like, dude, just go do it, man. Like, you're fine. So there's one weekend, this girl came up from Ohio, and I'd met her a couple times
before.
Were you? No, maybe. I don't
know. She was with that group. She was
It doesn't really matter. We don't have to put names here. So anyways,
girl.
Regardless of which,
yeah,
we
get girls as imports. So.
You know, the party ended, and this girl was hanging out, and you know, for some dumbass reason, I was like, you want to come see my car? And I had this
shit.
Did
you have a really good car?
No, I had a shit Nissan Pathfinder. Like, I mean, nothing. There's nothing cool. I was super nervous, super dumb. So we go into my car, we start fooling around, and I'm like, God, man, I really cannot navigate in here. This sucks. So we go back in the house.
You
can
pathfind in there, though.
Yeah. So we come back in the house, and we go into my room, and things are going great. And then she's just like, do you have a condom? And I was like, no.
What's that?
I was like, but I know someone who does. So I go into Ken's room, and Ken's passed out, and I go into his bed, and I'm like, Ken, wake up. And he won't wake up, so I thought if I tickled his feet, maybe he'll get he wakes up, and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, Ken, I need a condom. He's like, fine, they're in the tin over there. So I go, and I just grab every condom out of the tin.
Fucking huge.
I go back in my room, and I must have opened three or four of these things and cut them on. I didn't know how to put them on. So I was like,
he's got one on his hand, on his head.
Asking me what to do, I'm like, dude, you just gotta roll.
So by the way,
like the scene.
Yeah,
did you walk down the hall like a boner?
I did. So I'd like I creep my head out the door and make sure no one's in the hall, and I'm grabbing my dick, and then I just like run around, and then I go in the bathroom, and I finally get one on. I'm like, yes.
This girl's waiting the whole time.
Wow.
We had like a 3-minute conversation.
You gotta do this.
Wow. So I get back in there and I do the deed about 10 seconds. And, and then I, you know what? I knocked it out a couple times that night. I mean, I don't think she really enjoyed it, but I got over that.
Be selfish.
So then the next day I walk in, like, with the fucking machine. And I'm just like, Casey, It happened, bro. Casey's like, he's like, come on, right, tell Uncle Casey the whole story. And Ken walks in, he's like, you tickled my damn feet for
you. Walk into the bathroom next morning, just like five condoms on the floor. Just,
you know what's
these are my wounded soldiers.
You know what's horrible? I walk through the house now, and I see tons and tons of embarrassing memories that still put a smile on my face.
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful.
Like embarrassing memories that are happening still?
No.
You like walk by an area and you're just like, oh.
No, man. I
remember when I got blown in that exact spot.
I remember the knee sweat on that couch.
But anyways, so years go by and, you know, some practices come into play. And Casey, we went to Bud Bash. This one year at Bud Bash was like, it was so nuts. We took Rafi's car, his boat. Who was it, Case? It was you, me, Huckaluck, and Rafi, right, on that boat?
Yeah, there's quite a few of us.
There's quite a few of us there that year, but our boat was us four.
The first group of people. Rafi had to make two trips.
Okay, I do remember that.
Because I think it was you four in the one car pulling the boat.
Right.
And then there was like two other cars full of people.
Right.
And we made Rafi made two trips out to Bud Bash.
Mm-hmm.
And we got pulled over the one time because there, A, weren't any life vests on, and B,
seats
were not,
I remember
not
this.
Attached to the boat's
we had issues.
Yeah.
We had issues.
Yeah.
So anyways, we get there, and, you know, Casey, you know, since he's from Home Lake, he knows all these people, and we're walking around, and someone passes us this stuff called the orange drink. We don't know what is in this.
B.O.P.
It was blackout potion.
It was orange juice and, like, orange fruit punch and Everclear.
Yeah. So anyways, Huck, Casey, and I drink this shit.
Yeah.
Huck, Casey, and I drink this, and the rest of the night is, or the rest of the day is just a blur. Like, we had to put our stories together.
Drank it at like 9.
It was like
9
a.m.
in the morning.
Yeah.
So
we lose Huckluck. We don't even know what the fuck happened to him. And Casey and I are walking around, and Casey just asked a very lighthearted question. He's like, Richie, he's like, what do you want to do? And I point in the distance like fucking Smalls from The Sandlot, and I go, I want the naughty nurse. And there's this chick.
You called your shot?
Yeah, I called my shot. I called my damn shot.
The naughty nurse has this pontoon boat that she has decorated. It's called the Naughty Nurse's Station.
Ooh. And she's been at Bud Bash for at least, ever since I've been there, so probably at least the previous 4 years.
Right.
So anyways, Richie sees this young lady, calls her out.
And she's got like a nurse's
hat.
Was
she really young?
No. She was probably
30s. No, she was 30s.
Yeah, probably late 30s.
Late 30s.
She looked like she had been around the block a little bit.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So anyways, Casey just looks at me and goes, go get her. So I walk over there, and I think in my mind, all I said to her was, hi, I'm Richie. And she said, hi, I'm such and such. And I just started, like, making out with her. And then, next thing I know, I'm fingering her. And according to Casey, I'm doing, like, a full, like, you know, Roger Federer forehand into her vagina. The way I was finger blasting this girl. And there's supposedly, like, 100 people, like...
Yeah, yeah. So,
this wasn't,
you might not remember this,
but... secret place, right?
I don't remember this. We were sitting there, because there was a stripper pole on this makeshift raft.
Right.
And there was, you know, these couple girls that were getting down. And then there's just, you know, tons and tons of people around. And then I lose Richie, I look over. And him and the naughty nurse are making out. And next thing I know, look over, and he's, like, fucking wrist deep up in this old bronze vagina. I mean, just pumping her in front of everybody. And everybody starts, like, seeing it and pointing, and everybody's cheering and shit. And I'm just like, that a boy, Richie. Like, go get her, right?
So anyways, after this happens, I lose the naughty nurse. And Casey and I, we go back to the stripper pole, at which time we run into... this girl with an abusive boyfriend, and then your ex-girlfriend from high school and her mom. And, you know, I'm just standing there. I'm fucked up. I don't know what's happening. Casey disappears. Everyone disappeared. And this lady's like, you know, come back to, why don't you come back to the boat? And I was like, okay. So on the way back to the boat, I think, you know what, why don't I just try making out with her? So I started making out with her. And we get to her boat. She's like, do you want a beer? And I was like, I would love one. She hands me a beer. She's like, you look really cold. And I was like, I am very chilly. And she's
like, I am very chilly.
She starts like rubbing me up and she takes my swim trunks off. And once again, I'm a grower, not a shore, so it took a moment.
Well, you were cold.
Yeah, I was very cold. I was in the pool! I was in the pool! So she starts straightening me out. And then she's blowing me. And then out of nowhere, I see Casey. And I'm like, hi, Casey. And then it's the girl. It's Casey's girlfriend or ex-girlfriend. And she looks at her mom and goes, Mom, what the hell? Dad just died last week. And I'm just like, what the fuck is happening?
Had the funeral the day before.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And was blowing Richie on the set.
So this girl gets on the boat and starts slapping me, like just going nuts. Not a happy person right now.
With your pants off? Down your ankle.
I was just trying to get him back up.
Her mom was blowing him.
Yeah. So anyways, so in my mind, I thought I ran across that boat like fucking James Bond and dove into the water. Truth be told, I literally ran across the boat and fell off that.
Just kept running.
And I ran out of deck. And then I get back to our boat, and I pass out. I wake up with a terrible sunburn all over my back. And I forget who it was, but someone was there like, hey, man, like, you know that naughty nurse from earlier? I was like, yeah, bro. He's like, that's her fucking boat right there. I think it was you that said that to me. And I was like, I'm like, should I go? And you're like, you should absolutely go.
Of course.
So I go over to the naughty nurse's station, and I'm like, hi, you remember me? And she's like, yeah. Start making out again. We start fooling around on the boat, and she's like, I looked at her, I was like, let's get out of here. So in my mind, let's get out of here means let's find a bed. that's what's in my mind. In her mind, we get in the water and I was like, where should we go? I'm not from here. She's like, why don't we just go under the boat? And I was like, okay. So I go under the boat. And by the way, I don't care what anyone says. Navigating underwater is very difficult. I had a very difficult time doing this.
It took me
a little bit.
You're in water that's filled with piss, beer, yeah. And any other fluids that you put in there.
So fucking, I go in there completely raw and just, you know.
Not to mention in water, though.
Yeah.
Like raw and in video, Mike, at Bud Bash. With piss shit.
Wow. So I do the whole schmiggity. And
so again, about a second, 30 seconds later.
No, man, I worked at the 45.
Improvement, there you go.
Yeah, and then I ducked underwater and I was a ghost. Then I get back to the boat.
Well, see you later.
Thanks.
What'd you say your name was? I really don't care.
So I get back to our boat, and Rafi's like angry. He just like kicked some girl off his boat because she was being a bitch. We'll leave her name out. And that girl from earlier with the abusive boyfriend comes over, and Rafi's like, dude, let's get out of here. And I'm talking to this girl, and I start making out with her, and I'm like, Rafi, just give me a moment. And she goes down there, and she straightens me out as well. You know, handy. I didn't get a blowy. But, you know, I was really happy.
The old middle school special.
Yeah, the old middle school special. So,
handy at Bud Bash. I mean, that's almost like getting an STD.
So I get on the boat, and I'm like, Rafi, I was like, where is Huck and Casey? And he's like, dude, I haven't seen them in hours. So we get back to the boat landing. We're like, okay, we got to find these fuckers. And we get off the boat, and there's a line in front of the bathroom, and people are like, there's someone dying in there. here's a guy he's having a bad time. And next thing you know, here comes Huck out of the bathroom with, like, blood puke on his chest. We're like, all right, we got Huck. And then we're like, where's Casey? And someone's like, we think we saw your friend Casey just walking around. And we're like, okay. So we start driving on the main road. And here's Casey doing the wet noodle against the tree. And we pick him up and throw him in the car. And we're like, okay, we need to...
Who's driving this car?
Rafi. Yeah. Rafi actually stayed pretty sober.
He was driving the boat.
Yeah. So anyways, we're all like, we need to eat. It's been a long day. I've had a great day. And we decided to go to McDonald's. We get to McDonald's, and I'm with Chad Champagne. It's Chad Champagne, Casey, myself, Rafi, Huck, and then DeBusher showed up with Shannon. Sorry, DeBusher. Anyways, so that person who will remain nameless that Rafi kicked off his boat landed in jail. So they had to wait for her. So Derek DeBusher, So Derek DeBusher and Shannon, they came to McDonald's. And Chad Champagne and I were ordering, and Champagne looks at the girl, and he's like, man, that is the hottest girl I've ever seen at a McDonald's. And I look at Chad, I'm like, she's still right there taking her order. Yeah, she didn't go anywhere. So then, like, we get our food, we sit down, and all I hear Casey and I go is, we need 10 McBurgers and 10 McFries, and make sure you put them in a McBag. So they each order 10 McBurgers, 10 McFries, and they get in their McBag.
What does that even mean? What's a
McBurger? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. We think it was a McDouble. But anyways.
Because, McDonald's had all their Mick shit.
Right.
So we wanted a fucking McBurger.
Yeah.
Like,
so anyways, we finally get all our food. We sit down. And Derek and Shannon, they get their food and they sit down. And there's this sign on the ground that says wet floor, caution. Casey looks at the sign, he's like, that floor is not wet. And then he dumps his entire Coke. He's like, now it's wet. And I don't know who said it, but someone's like, why don't you put some fries on that? And Casey's like, great idea. He takes like one thing of fries, just dumps it. Shannon looks at Casey and goes, God, you are so immature. Casey unwraps a burger and smokes it. Literally rips this thing. Rips this thing.
Hamburger like ketchup and mayo. And like little pieces of onion.
We're having a great time. And Shannon's pissed. Derek's upset. Derek's
really upset. I can't imagine why.
Why would Derek be upset?
So Derek's like, guys, you didn't need to do that. And then, like, he's walking out, and finally we finish our meals, and we realize we need to get the fuck out of here.
Well, we started smoking cigarettes.
No, that didn't happen yet. We walked outside, and we lit cigarettes, and you still had your cup of Coke that you poured all over.
Oh, yeah, so need a refill.
Yeah, so Casey needs a refill. He walks into McDonald's smoking a cigarette, gets a refill, and walks out, and then we hear police sirens, and we ran.
I'm glad you guys ran. That was worth
it. That was our Bud Bash story.
Oh my goodness. I love Bud Bash. I was there, but not for the McDonald's part of that Bud Bash.
Man, I remember Samasa came back with like skin cancer. Like, he got
wracked. Bubbles all over his shoulder.
Like,
was that recently?
That was
no. I want to say that was 08 or 09.
That was our freshman.
I think it was 08.
2K09.
I think it was 09. So after several years passed, I figured I'd outgrown all this stupid shit. So, at this point... To be honest...
Was this like a month ago?
No, this wasn't a month ago. So, like, I think I was like 24.
That's good.
And the thing about it was, when I was 24, you know, I had this new job. I was traveling a lot. And what happened was, I found that my stories were more circumstantial. Like, I didn't cause them. They just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So, there's this one week where I showed up and I was checking into the hotel and they're like, sir, we don't have a reservation under your name. And I was like, oh man, that's really bad. I was like, are you guys sold out? They're like, we're completely sold out. They're like, but you know what? We'll find something. Don't worry. So give me the hospitality suite, which is basically like a giant party room with a Murphy.
We had in Alabama.
Yeah, in the Bama.
That was great.
So, anyways, so I get this thing, and I go to work, and I'm like, hey, man, I got a hospitality suite. Like, we should take this client out and have a good time. So the guy's like, yeah, you know, let me get some baseball tickets. We'll do a pre-party, get a ton of food. It'll be fun.
Just a...
No. That's a different one. So, anyways, So it's Wednesday night. It's Wednesday night, and, you know, this room's nice. It has chandeliers, a nice bar area, whatever. And, you know, we're having this party, and there's a guy on our team, Chuck, who I call fucking Chuck. So I go in the bathroom, and the bathroom is, like, the bathroom is made for, like, multiple people to be in there at once. So I go in there, party and, you know, yeah, fucking Chuck and this lady who I don't think is his wife are doing blow off the sink. And I'm, once again, I was 24 years old. I didn't really understand the world that I work in. And to me, I was like, maybe this is normal. I don't know. I don't know. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to say anything. Yeah, no, no, no. No, so I'm like, so in my mind, I was like, I don't want to be the uncool guy that says don't. Yeah.
That's why you don't have time to watch TV. Yeah, you're too busy doing blow-ups. Yeah, bathroom things.
We should probably edit that part. No, so anyways, I don't want to be the uncool guy that says, guys, I don't want you doing that in my room. So I just let it happen. I let it happen, and then, you know, everyone's ready to go to the game, and, you know, Chuck's like, dude, I'll meet you guys up there. So we go to the game, we have a great time, we get slammered, come back, and I walk in the room, and Chuck is on the ground with the chandelier on top of him, just passed the fuck out. Like, we don't know how this happened, we're like, this is just the sight. And I go over there, and I'm like, Chuck, wake the fuck up. I'm like, Chuck! Chuck wakes up and he looks at me. I'm like, Chuck, what happened? He's like, Rich. He's a Southern guy. He's like, Rich, please don't tell my wife. My wife, that was not my wife. She cannot know that this happened. He's like, I was like, what happened, Chuck? He's like, well, you know, we were in here. We were all messed up. And, you know, Beth Ann said that she wanted to, she'd never been fucked on a chandelier before. So of course she was holding on to the chandelier. And there's a broken chair. I'm like, Chuck, how did the chair break? He's like, well, you know, Beth Ann was holding on to the chandelier, and I'm not that tall, so I brought the chair over. He's like, stand on it. He's like, next thing you know, the thing came down, I went down, the chair broke. He's like, Rich, please don't tell my wife. And I'm like, Chuck, get the fuck out of here.
Have you guys not heard this movie?
No, I look at my boss, and I'm just like, I can't pay for this. He was
a client, right?
No, he was on our team. He was another consultant. So anyways, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pretend this didn't happen. I don't know what happened, and we'll just see where that goes. So the next day, you know, I go, and, you know, someone came to clean the room, and then Friday comes around, and I'm checking out of the hotel, and I'm just walking out like nothing's fucking happened. And they're like, you, sir, come here. This has happened multiple times. Yeah, this isn't like a first.
So, is this the first time you got called?
This is the second time. This is the second time. And I'm like, first, yes? Though, they're right? Like, yeah. They're okay. Like, sir, like, there's a broken chandelier in a free room we gave you. And I was like, I know. And they're like,
not even denying.
Yeah. They're like, we're charging you for that. And I was like, well, how much? They're like, well, it's going to be about $5,000, maybe $7,500. And I was like, okay. So I show up to work, I'm like, I tell my boss, I'm like, look, dude, Chuck broke the damn chandelier, can I expense this? So anyways, he's like, yeah, go ahead and expense it, just, we'll deal with it, put it as non-billable. So years go by, and I'm on another project, and I'm with a very high-up person. You know, he's the guy that approves all our bullshit, basically. And, you know, this guy looks at me, he's like, hey, Richie, you know, there's a new guy coming in, he's going to be handling some of the stuff on your end, since you're moving on to another project. And I was like, cool. Here comes fucking Chuck into the room. He's like, Rich! And I'm like, oh, fuck, oh, shit. He sits next to me, and, you know, this higher up, he's right next, he's on the other side of me, and Chuck just leans in, gives me the elbow, and goes, hey, Rich, remember that time I broke your chandelier? And this high up goes, this was you? This is your bullshit? And I'm just like, well, looks like there goes a good impression. On that same project, let me tell you about some fun strip clubs.
Oh, please.
So, I've seen some titty bars in my life. I'm not a big titty bar fan, but I will not refuse to go. That's my MO.
I mean, it's tits and booze. What else can you ask for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we're in St. Louis. And there's a special place in St. Louis called East St. Louis. East St. Louis is like Dort Highway in
Ferguson's,
Flint.
Where all the
no, that's not Ferguson. It's bad though. It ain't good.
That's where all the good barbecue is. Right?
It is.
Hell no, I didn't edit that out. It's gonna get me hits.
So anyways, we're there, and, you know, when you leave a project, you have what's called a roll-off party. We kind of did a roll-off week for mine. And, you know, Wednesday night came around, I was leaving Thursday, and these two guys at the client were really cool. Both their names were Chris. So Chris and Chris are like, Richie, we got a great place we want to take you. Just round your people up, and we're going to do this. But they got to be cool. And I was like, what are we doing, bro? And he's like, we're not scoring drugs. It's going to be cool. So we drive out to East St. Louis. It's Chris and Chris, myself, and two other coworkers. And we pass all the strip clubs, and I'm like, where are we going, guys? They're like, dude, it's a surprise. You're going to love this. We show up to a fucking trailer park. And I'm like, I don't even want to know what's happening. I just want to go home at this point. We go all the way to the back, and we get out of the car, and I'm like, are you guys going to kill us? Like, what happened? What did we do? They're like, no, it's cool. And they go, and you know, one of the Chris's, he goes, and he knocks on the door. It's like straight out of a movie.
Special knock?
Yeah, special knock. And, you know, this guy opens his eye thing and goes, what's the password? And Chris goes, eat my asshole. And he looks back at us. We all heard it. He looks like, he's like, by the way, if you guys want to come back here, the password is eat my asshole.
Go there?
I don't want to go back. Anyways, so we walk into this trailer, of all things. And you guys, you know, if you go shop at Home Depot ever, you know how you see, like, the model, like, bathrooms with the bathtub or, like, the shower, the shitty plastic showers?
Yeah.
They just have a shitty plastic shower on the wall. Like, it's not a room. It's just on the wall. And they got folding chairs. And, you know, we sit down. And the lights are kind of dim. And this guy comes up, and he's like, you want Budweiser or Shine? And in my mind, I'm just like, I'm all about new experiences.
I'll take the shine.
I will have the shine, sir.
Wait, in your head, you're not like, I need to get as drunk as I possibly can.
No.
I don't want to remember what's coming next.
I'm pretty sure I drank 87 unleaded. Because this stuff came in a mason jar and it reeked. Yeah.
It was probably leaded.
It was leaded. And the two Chris's, they're just slapping me on the shoulder like, dude, you're going to love this. This is going to be awesome. I'm like, I'm not having a good time right now. I don't even know what's happening. Two of the trashiest girls. So anyways, two of the trashiest girls you'll ever see come in. They get into this fucking shower, and the shower works. They turn the shower on, and they do a toy show in front of us. And next thing you know, Chris and Chris, they're over there just, you know, having the best time of their lives. I'm sitting there with my coworkers, like, what the hell is happening right now? And finally, like, you know, 40, I think it was 45 minutes had passed, and I'd gotten through, like, you know, maybe, like, an eighth of that shine, because it was so ridiculous, and I was like, we need to leave. So, we go to Penthouse. So, by the way, for those of you who ever go to East St. Louis, there's two strip clubs you should go to are either Larry Flint's Hustler Club or Penthouse. Now, here's how it works. Larry Flint's Hustler Club, you get the most bang for your buck.
Literally?
I never fucked a stripper. But I know people who have. And I'm told that Larry Flint's Hustler Club is the place to go for that. If you want a little more high class and nice, you go to Penthouse. Mm-hmm. So we went to Penthouse. And, you know, I'm fucked down in my mind.
Because you went from down here class.
Right.
So you had to go up here.
Yeah, you had to go up here. Right. I like that somewhere.
The mean strip club was just about that. Yeah.
I'm a middle class guy, and I like to make sure that, you know, things are kept in there. So anyways, we had to Penthouse, and, you know, Chris and Chris, they're really trying to show me a good time, and I can really appreciate that. I really do. And I'm like, you know what? Let's get some champagne rooms. So,
well, don't you know there's no sex in the champagne room?
See, that's what I thought.
Chris Rock told us that.
That's okay.
Definitely wrong.
Yeah, that is false. That is false because I offered to give Chris and Chris their own champagne rooms. They're like, no, we want our own. And I was like, okay. Chris and Chris double teamed a stripper that night. And I was just like, wow, this is slightly different. And I was just like, man, you know, you guys are fucking nuts. You guys do everything together. You know, you work together. You know, your kids play together. You guys bang the same stripper together. You know, whatever goes. So we finally leave this place, and the two other coworkers that are with me, you know, they claim some things that I don't believe, but whatever. So the next morning, and by next morning I mean like a half hour later, I had to wake up, shower, shave, shit, and like suit up. We're going to work, and my coworker, I was sitting in the back, and my coworker that's in the passenger seat, he's taking pics of this other guy's neck, and I was like, what the fuck? He's like, dude. He's like, look over there. He's like, he got a hickey from a stripper. He's got, like, bite marks and shit all over his neck. And we get to work, and I'm still kind of fucked up. And when I get fucked up and I have to work and people are not agreeing with me, I tend to get a little, not defensive, but aggressive. So, you know, my boss is like, you know what, I think you should shift gears today and do this. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea. We had a plan, and we're going to stick to it. And she's like, okay. She's like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. And then I look, I was like, I slur my words. And the guy's like, you're slurring pretty heavy there.
Slurred words.
Slurred words. Hey.
Hashtag slurred words.
So, anyways,
is there a special sound we're supposed to play on this or what?
I don't have a soundboard yet.
So, anyways,
Christmas.
Yeah, so, anyways, exactly. I'm sitting there, and this higher up's like, what happened last night? And everyone's like, ask Richie. And I was like, I'll tell you another time, bro. It's not important.
Don't worry about it.
So anyways, you know, a cardinal rule we have at work is that you can't leave your laptops unlocked. Because, you know, we have a lot of financial information and things that we don't want getting out or people being privy to. I left my laptop unlocked when I went to go grab lunch. And I had a presentation. It was my final presentation to say, hey, you know what? We're delivering this. It's done. So I left it unlocked, and I come back for this presentation. And I'm doing this thing, and it's going great. And then all of a sudden, I just hear all these laughs. And I'm just like, what, do I have a booger? Like, is my fly open? What the hell is going on? And I turn around, and I look at my screen. And by the way, for those of you who ever have to present anything, make sure your email alerts are turned off. Because what happened was someone went on my email and registered it for cougarlife.com. So here's this email.
Are you sure you didn't do this when you were drunk?
No, I'm pretty sure. So this giant thing, like, you know, like 1 foot by like 2 feet message that says, welcome to cougarlife.com. Your cougar experience begins here. And I look over, and these people are like, it's cool, man. Like, don't, it's fine. We understand.
I'm a member too.
And then I see the guy that did it. He's in the window, just looking at me. He's like, ha ha, just flicking me off. And I'm like, how is this funny? How is this even appropriate?
That is a pretty good one, though.
That's a good one. So I'm a firm believer in this. If you're in your 20s, you should rock it as hard as you can with whatever means you have. Because you don't get them back.
Are you out of your 20s yet?
YOLO, no, not yet. Right? I got 2 years. I got YOLO. 2 years left, yeah. So, anyways, I watched this movie called The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, about a year ago. And I saw this thing, and I'm like, oh my God, we can be these people minus the drugs. Like, in my mind, I was like, we can do this. So I was, you know, like a little fucking, like, you know, puppy dog. I was like, Casey, we gotta watch this movie. He's like, dude, all right, whatever, we'll watch this shit.
Well,
he loved it.
This was around the time you were moving out of Flint.
Yes, this was around that time.
Yeah.
So anyways, so we came over, and I was trying to get rid of a bunch of booze. So we started watching Wolf of Wall Street, Casey, Andy, and myself. And we're getting super fucked up. But we're getting fucked up in the right way. Like, we're getting messed up, and we're saying, we're going to do something stupid tonight, and it's going to be fun. So anyways, we finally go out, and we go to Danny's. I love Danny's, by the way. Danny's is a great place.
Danny's Irish Pub?
Yeah, Danny's Inferno? Irish Inferno.
It's amazing.
Wonderful.
Danny's, like,
no,
it's an American institution.
No, not Danny's. We're talking about Danny's Irish Pub. It's wonderful.
Best salad for a pancake.
So we get there.
Pancakes.
We get there, and there's not three seats open at the bar in a row. There's this one guy just, you know, he's sitting there, very nice guy, nothing wrong with him. And we started drinking, and we slammed about 6 drinks in less than a half hour.
Not just beers.
These
are 6 gin and tonics.
Shots, yeah. You know, whatever.
So you guys were taking it easy.
Yeah.
Easy night.
So we're talking...
Hold on, sorry. You didn't express to them how much we had drank watching Wolf.
We finished a fifth of Hendrix, a fifth of something else.
Between how many people?
Three of us.
The three you guys?
The three of us, yeah. Fifth of Hendrix and a half a fifth of, was it Tanqueray?
So almost a fifth each.
Yeah, I mean, about half a fifth each? I think the math works out.
Yeah, I think it was half a fifth each.
Yeah.
We were
impressive
good.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, so that's a lot. Gin before we even left.
Before we left. I mean, Wolf of Wall Street is a long-ass movie.
Yeah, right.
It's like 2.5 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's long. Yeah.
So we need some beverages to indulge ourselves.
So anyways, we get there. We're already fucked up. Everything's tasting like water, and it's all good, right? So this guy that's sitting next to us, we start talking. We're like, hey, man, what's going on? We start talking. And he tells us, he asked me, you know, what nationality I am. And I'm like, well, you know, I was born here. My parents are Indian. He's like, oh, well, I'm Italian. And
for some reason, both starts with I.
Yeah, both starts with I. It's cool. And I just look at him for no reason whatsoever. I was like, jabroni. I just kept calling him jabroni. And he was not having it. So finally, this guy is really, he's really like, you know, he has a certain affinity towards, you know, Casey and Andy. Not so much me because I'm calling him jabroni. And he wants to hang out. And
I was on like, a roll that night.
Yeah.
I was probably the top two funniest guys I've ever run into.
Yeah. You were killing it that
night. I was killing it. I mean, I was in the zone.
That guy just gave us so much material, though.
Yeah, he was
like,
wonderful.
We called him Jabroni because he was that
stereotypical
Italian guy.
I'm from
Jersey.
And
was he doing the...
Yeah, he was from Jersey.
He made a comment
about how Italian guys have big dicks or something. So once he said that, it was like... No holds barred.
Yeah, no holds barred. Yeah.
It was all three of us were just making fun of this guy. It's hard as
he
we
thought
could.
It was cool.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to hang out with you guys all
night.
We were in the Danny's and they're partying at like a 5 and we were like 15. Yeah. I mean, this is maxed out.
It seems like every time we go into Danny's, we just automatically take it to 11 with them.
So anyways, you know, this guy goes to pee and I'm like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. We need to ditch this motherfucker. So we walk out of the bar and we're leaving. We're trying to figure out where to go next. This guy comes running out of this bar, and he goes to Andy, and he's like, hey man, you left your credit card. And we're like, what a nice guy. We can't shit on him now.
Right, exactly.
So we're like, where should we go? And he's like, let's go to Orchid. And we're like, all right, let's all go to Orchid. And some girl walked by, and I was doing some stupid dance like behind her. And Jabroni yells, get it, Raj. Nothing else. That's all he said. All I said was, get it, Rod. And for some reason, it poked a hole in a part of my brain that does not like the name Rod or me being called that. So I turn around, and in complete Muay Thai form, I run down Woodward, and I do a flying knee into this guy.
A straight flying knee to the chest.
It looked like he got like at least a foot and a half off the ground as his knee was flying towards
yeah,
the crush.
But it wasn't like dragging the knee up into him. It was just like fucking Power Ranger style across the room.
I looked like the Burberry logo. So anyways, after this flying knee, this guy is like, he's really upset. And I'm like, you called me Raj. He's like, you've been calling me Jabroni for a while. And I'm like, so? You can't call me Raj? And Casey looks at me, he's like, dude, that was a little excessive.
I was like, Richie, dude, what the fuck?
And I mean, it's like, wow, of all people, if Casey tells me that I'm being a little excessive, it's time to stop. So anyways, we keep going out. This guy meets some black girl at Orchid. Andy's now wife comes and picks him up from One-Eyed Betty's.
Oh, yeah.
And Casey's trying to get me to meet some blonde girls. He's like, you're going to love these girls. These girls are awesome. He brings a Swedish blonde girl that's a foot taller than me. And I'm just like, oh, hello.
Well, Casey's being like the most aggressive wingman ever.
Right. So anyways.
I was pouring it on for you. Right.
So anyways, there is...
Hold on, let me grab you from your conversation. Have you met Rich?
Right. Have you met my friend Rishkesh? I mean, it was crazy. So anyways, we're at the bar. And I saw some Indian girl who I ended up dating for the next few months, for that matter. And, you know, I start chatting her up. And Casey, like, I'm talking to her. Everything's fine. Casey sits down. He's in wet noodle form, And he just turns his head and goes, "So what do you do?" And I'm like, "This is my friend Casey." So finally, you know, we had a good time, and you know, the bar is closing, and this girl's like, "Yeah, my friends and I are leaving," and I was like, "Yeah, I gotta go get my friend some food. We're pretty fucked up." So I'm like, "Casey, you want to go to IHOP?" He's like, "Yeah, let's go to fucking IHOP." So we're going to fucking, so I was like, "Okay, I'll call an Uber." And this girl is really nice, and she's just like, "Oh, we can take you there. It's on our way." So we get in a car, and they're driving us to IHOP, and these girls are asking me questions, and I'm talking to them, and Casey, like, all this girl did was change lanes. And Casey just goes, "Drive better." And I'm like, "Casey, she's driving just fine. It's okay. It's not a problem."
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So we get to IHOP. I get this girl's number. I end up dating her for the next few months. And I lose Casey in IHOP. I don't know where he is. And I go to the bathroom and I find him. You know, we chowed down, came home, and passed out. And you know what? I got to say, that night could have ended in a lot of bad ways. But we all did just fine.
I feel like you're leaving some information about your IHOP trip out regarding some people in the other booths nearby, and Casey.
Yeah, they're giving me shit because I was passing out.
Oh,
because weren't you, you were eating, but you like weren't using utensils. You were like caveman style with the hands,
caveman,
you know,
diet.
like yeah, just
caveman diet.
Just shoveling.
It's called the paleo diet.
Just shoveling the food in, and there's some Mexicans or something staring at you.
This is like 3 in the morning, and I'm at least a fifth of gin deep, plus some extracurricular, which we won't get into. And I was just dragging in the dirt. It was all I could do to keep going.
Right.
And yeah, they were giving me some shit, and I was getting a little mad.
All right. We had a great time. I have to say, every time I come to Michigan to hang out with you guys, I always leave with a good time. Everyone I've ever dated, I've always told them, I was like, "Look, once a quarter, I need to go hang out with my friends. We're going to do stupid shit. It's going to happen.
It's inevitable.
But I promise I come back a better man." And I do.
You get your weird shit out.
I get my weird shit out.
The thing about getting older, I wouldn't call it we're getting more mature. We're just getting smarter at doing stupid things.
I think that's accurate. Right?
You do your dumb shit with the right people.
Right.
Your smart shit with the other.
So when people are like, "Oh, Casey, you're growing up," I'm like, "No, I just haven't been getting caught lately."
That's true. You know, there are some lessons I feel that I learned from the authorities earlier in life.
Oh, I did too.
Honestly, like, they've paid some serious dividends, man. Like,
4 hours in jail.
So you're saying
yeah.
4 hours.
The judicial system actually worked
for me.
No, it was stupid, terrible. My 4 hours in jail sucked. What was stupid about it was then
you only had to spend 4.
Yeah, because I wasn't 21.
Yeah, I went through the same shit.
I blew over 0, so I went to jail until I could blow zeros.
Yep.
Went through the same shit. Because I had a case of beer. I had I was drinking a lot of water, doing some push-ups. I was working out, having a good old time in jail, you know.
Most pleasant jail experience anyone's ever had.
Yeah, so then, you know, I got arrested for drunk driving, so I called my friend Lou to pick me up, and he was drunk when he picked me up. I drove him home. He's like, "Oh my god, I'm so fucked up, you're gonna have to drive home." I said, "I did."
He drove and drunk then, you know to what? A police station
at 2 in the morning, and then he got out, let me drive.
Where was this at?
It was from he drove from Big Rapids, which is Ferris, to Reed City, which is like the next little podunk town up, which is like 15 miles or something.
It's just straight up 131.
Pick me up. I mean, he like fell out of a fucking truck too when he got there. Like, "You gotta drive," and I'm like, "I will." So then we went back to Ferris and we partied some more. You know, why let it ruin your night? Like, you already got arrested.
The damage is done.
You can only go up from there. So we partied till like 6 in the morning.
You, right? Do you get double jeopardy rules for that? Same
probably.
Day.
Probably.
No,
officer. The same. He had to break the same law,
officer.
It's the same law.
If you're still under 21 and drinking, Officer, you can't arrest me. I already got arrested for that today.
Boom! Double jeopardy. Lawyered.
I'd like to point out that none of us are lawyers, nor have we ever read anything that has anything
but
to do with law.
But as soon as they release
I watched a lot of Law and Order SVU, though.
Because Ice Cube is...
Ice tea, don't mess that up, man. Wrong ice.
I can give you the first time I got drunk, because this is a funny story. So I was in 8th grade. My parents, we were living in a small-ass town, Kearney, Arizona. Little piece of shit town. In the middle is Arizona, and they had left to go to Phoenix for the day. So I was, me and my brother, we were just out riding bikes. Well, I was riding my fucking bike, and for whatever reason, my chain was a little loose, so I, like, reached down to grab it to see how loose it was, and it fucking got sucked into the sprocket when I was riding, because I was an idiot.
Your finger?
Dirty.
Yeah. So the sprocket goes through my middle finger, and it's just like, oh, man, it was hurting. Like, it was probably the most pain I've ever had in my entire life. And it was bleeding like a son of a bitch, right? Like, just bleeding down my arm, down my elbow, and, like, dripping on the ground, and I'm driving home, right? And I'm just like, fuck, this shit hurts, right? And my parents are gone, and I'm just like, what am I going to do? And I was like, oh, there's a fucking half gallon of tequila up in the cupboard. Because, you know, you watch all the cowboy movies, they get shot and shit, they fucking start ripping some booze, right? So,
well, they do that to numb the pain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
While a medical person is working on...
Right. So I take the fifth or half gallon of Jose Cuervo. Some great shit there. And
Jose Gold?
Yeah. Gold. You know, gold. Gold. This is old. This is like, you know, 15 fucking years ago. I don't even think they had silver back then.
Oh, really?
So, I rip on this tequila, I take like 4 or 5 strong pulls, and I am just like coughing and wheezing, I can hardly get it down. So I wait like 10 minutes, and I'm like, oh man, I'm fucked up, but I'm feeling good now, so I want to go ride my bike again. So I just wrapped up my finger, and I ride over to my friend Clay's house, which is like 3 blocks over. Stop at his house, and I tell his mom the story, and she's like, oh my god, your finger must be hurting so bad. Here, take this Tylenol 3. So I wasn't gonna tell her that I was just drinking tequila, because I was gonna get me in trouble. She was
no,
the babysitter.
No, don't,
that
don't worry, I just ripped some tequila, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah. That ain't coming out of my mouth, because she's really good friends with my mom, right? So I fucking take her Tylenol 3, and I'm sitting there, and then like 20 minutes go by, and I mean, I am just fucked up. I'm like in awe. Like, I am out of my mind, fucked up on her couch, like watching TV, and I'm just like, I gotta go. I can't be around these people. So I left, got back on my bike, and we went uptown where there was like an arcade and shit. And me and my brother was just laughing at me because I was just like walking all sideways and shit. And yeah, got all fucked up. That was the first time I got drunk.
That was the first time you got drunk. You did not only get drunk on alcohol, you also took some Tylenol 3.
It was just how it happened. But yeah, I was fucked up.
Actually, explains a lot about, you know,
about Casey there.
Yeah.
So when I first started like doing this job, since consulting stuff years ago. You know, everyone I work with is usually like 10 to 15 years older than me, and when you come in as a newbie, you know, it's like being a pledge again.
You get hazed.
Like,
I mean, not that
no, we never hazed.
Yeah, it's just like being the new guy, right?
Yeah. So we were in New York, and we went into the city, and they got me super fucked up. They're like, let's see what the kid can do. So I was so messed up, like I couldn't like stay up anymore. I was like, I need to go. Passing out, and finally they slapped a sticky note with the address of the hotel, and they taped it to my chest.
Not smart people. Don't they know sticky notes lose their stickiness like
See,
that?
Yeah, they taped it, so it was on there pretty good. Okay. It was on there.
They were smart.
So anyways, they gave this cabbie $100 to take me back, and they're like, let's see if he makes it back. And, you know, when I look back on it, I'm like, man, a lot of bad things could have happened, but, you know, I'm good. So I get back to this hotel, and this hotel we were staying at, it had this giant horse in the lobby.
I'm sure she was a nice lady.
Though. A real horse?
A real horse. No, 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 like
a horse, of course.
You said a whore.
Not a whore. There's this horse in the lobby, and, you know, all the times I was checking in, I always wanted to, like, get on top of this thing.
Naturally. Like, is
the
it
horse
like
or the whore?
Is it like a P.F. Chang's horse?
Yes.
Okay.
It's exactly like a P.F. Chang's
I'm
horse, except
you know?
It's made out of plastic.
Okay.
Oh, I thought it was made out of, like, a stone.
If it's plastic, it's made to be climbed on.
Yeah.
I'm just
they knew it was going to be broke because it's cheap.
Right. So anyways, I hop on a couch and I get on
Their
this
fault.
Thing.
Are you riding it?
You know what? In my mind, I wrote it. I honestly, this is what I truly believe
Did
happened.
Did you go Billy Madison riding the bull? Woo!
Feeling the flow.
Feeling the flow.
Drive.
You guys
working
do that
it. Working it. Working it.
So anyways,
let me get
I jumped, I got on this horse. Yeah. In my mind, I got on top of this horse.
Is it your
Which
special?
What really happened was, I think I just fell off of it.
Thanks, bud.
I got on and I fell off immediately. And then I just went to my hotel room. The next morning, I'm coming out, and I'm checking out, and this was actually the first time, like, sir, please come here. And I was like, yes, and they're like, we have canceled all your future reservations. And I was like, why?
Is this someone you got blacklisted?
No. That was a chandelier thing.
Oh, okay, all right.
No, I got put on the watch list.
Oh, the watch list, that was it.
The brown list, will you?
There you go. So anyways, they called me over to the desk. And I was like, well, why? They're like, sir, you know what you did last night? And I was like, I went back to my room and I fell asleep. And they're like, I was like, I'd like to speak to a manager. And I'm like, why did you cancel my reservation? They're like, please come with us, sir. So I go into security. And they play the video of me jumping on this horse and falling off of it. And then the horse falling onto the couch.
Did you get a copy of this video?
No, I should. I should get a copy of this video.
Wait, that semi-formal.
Did they charge you?
No, it didn't break. It didn't break.
Okay.
They just told me that I cannot stay at their property anymore.
Just that one or the whole, like,
the whole?
No, this
branch?
Was this
just
was
that one?
No, this was just like a one-off.
Oh, okay.
Slurred speech and the stories we preach.